Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Glad you're with us here today on New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
I'm struggling with abandonment issues, and I want to know how to move forward from it.
How would I reconcile a betrayal from a friend that was just a really deep wound?
I can always do good for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Like, pick myself right back up.
Michael, I believe you, and I hear that in you, and we see that, but none of us were designed to have to pick ourselves up.
First of all, I'm wondering why it has to be somebody's fault that he died, because terrible things do happen in life.
I think you're going to lose this battle.
I have to let it go, don't I?
Yeah.
Part of what I would do is spend some time preparing my family to say, this is going to be tough, but we need to put it in the context of what would Jesus have us do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and glad you're with us. We want to read some quotes to you as we start off with Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Listen to this. Here are some things that were said at our last New Life weekend. Heather said, attend. Short of robbing a bank, do whatever is necessary to get to a workshop as quickly as possible. It's worth the money. No price can be put on healing. Let's talk about that robbing a bank. I mean, if it saved your marriage, I mean, no. Laura says, it is so worth it, and I was a skeptic for everyone and anyone. No matter how big or small your problems may seem, it's for you. Kristen said, if you only own one thing, sell it and come to a New Life weekend. And two more. Robert says, go for it. Do not succumb to the enemy's reasons for not going. And Robin says, mortgage your house and do it. Now, that's how people feel about this weekend, where you really do have a chance to start over. And we want you to come to the next New Life weekend. And it's in July. It's in the Philadelphia area, and it could really change everything for you. Also, toward the end of the year, we do Wives in the Battle, and we do our weight loss program. And you'll want to be part of that. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Really is.
Lots of good things.
Absolutely is. And, you know, today is the start of the Memorial Day weekend. And I hope that everybody's going to have a safe.
Kick off to summer. Yay.
Yes. Safe time. Good time. I know I'll be out on the lake and it'll be a wonderful. I love relaxing. You know, some people can't relax. It's not hard for me. Instant relaxation. Let's go over here to the phone and talk to some other folks. Let's talk with Tanya from Camarillo, California. KKLA is the station. Hey, Tanya, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's great to be on your show. I've learned a lot from you guys.
Well, great. How could we help you today?
Well, I feel like I've been in limbo for a long period of time, for at least the last 7 years, and I'm still married, but I have filed for divorce, although I've done everything to procrastinate going through with it. And the reason is that I don't really feel like I've really connected a lot with my husband emotionally. 7 years ago, after he lost his work, there was a lot of verbal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 5 years, I've basically been supporting our home and our family through basically work, using my inheritance or money that's from my family.
What does he do during the day? How has he spent the past 5 years?
He did have some part-time jobs working for about 4 to 6 months for a few part-time jobs as a handyman or a plumber's assistant. He now volunteers at the food share or at the food bank like 4 days a week, so he brings home groceries on those days.
Mm-hmm.
He does some part-time handyman work for a gentleman friend that we know.
Okay.
He does a lot of, he sits on the computer, whether he's researching stuff about, quote, a new business or stuff like that, but it's like he's basically living his life like a retired man.
Yeah.
He's only 47, and I'm
47? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break. We'll give you some help with this right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. To join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000, and you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
When I left for Bermuda Ranch, I weighed probably 75 pounds. There were no safe foods left for me. Twice I was given 3 weeks to live. My medical team didn't believe that I could even survive the flight. And I didn't know if I would ever see my kids again.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders.
I realized right away that they meet you where you are in your illness, in your knowledge, your confusion, and your battle.
Bermuda Ranch has treated nearly 8,000 women and girls. A full 95% of patients remain in recovery after discharge.
Today, though, I'm a healthy 59-year-old grandma. I've sung at both of my children's weddings. I got to be so much more than a memory candle up on the altar.
Call New Life today for more information at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're talking with Tanya. Husband, at age 40, lost his job. He's 47 now. He's only done some part-time jobs. He does a lot of work on the computer, looking for new business opportunities. She's supporting them, kind of with her inheritance. What's the question for us, Tanya? How can we help you?
I have no more emotional energy for him, and I just want to move on and be able to start taking action for my life and for my kids.
You don't respect him at all, do you?
You know, he is a hard worker, and he's, you know, no, I've lost respect for him a long time ago. However, I've gone through a lot of emotional and counseling and self-introspection to really realize that, no, I don't want to have no respect for him, but I just keep my emotional distance from him because there was a lot of belittling, a lot of devaluing of what I was presenting to the table.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sounds like to me, it sounds like to me, to simplify this, that you've really held on to some big resentments toward him. You've held on to those, and he's given you, you know, fertilizer to grow the resentments, right? Giving you plenty to grow. And then you combine this justifiable resentment, because, you know, if you tell anybody what he said and how he did it, they're going to say, yeah, you're justified in being resentful, and yet that's destroying your marriage. And then I think down inside you really feel like you're entitled to more than what he is bringing to this marriage. So you've got this entitlement and this resentment causing you to have absolutely no interest in a life with this man. Now, you have children.
Yes, we have a 14 and 11-year-old, both boys.
Okay, and how do they feel about Dad?
They're a little bit irritated with him as well. Mm-hmm. They see the injustice of how he treats them as well as me, or some of the things that they say, or some of the things that he says to them. And I guess more so, they see that he's not working and that he wants to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And sees me as his little piggy bank, and then they're sort of like, well, if Dad wants to do this, we'll have him go out and get a job and go get some money so he can do it.
Yeah.
Well, Tanya, what have you done with respect to counseling, or what have you done with respect to looking at the fact that your husband's probably depressed and is perhaps having a hard time pulling himself out of a nosedive here? What have you done in those departments of counseling?
Over the last 7 years, we've been to about the last eight years, we've been through like six churches and eight pastors. So these pastors have also, you know, said, hey, listen, dude, you need to, like, get back on the program with your marriage, otherwise you're going to lose your family.
Okay, that's not what I, that's not what I ask. I'm asking because
interventions for your husband.
Well, I'm asking. Your husband sounds depressed because the anger, the irritability, his inability to be able to be patient with his kids, you, him finding other ways to fill his time that are lower than his functioning levels and capacities. These all speak to depression. Yep. And most pastors are not skilled and equipped, as I was not skilled and equipped once upon a time, to understand anything about anxiety and depression and how the brain works and how immobilizing it can be. And I'm simply saying I would, before this divorce goes through, I'd want you to explore that and to see where your husband really is in this department. Because he doesn't, I don't know about you guys, but my first impressions are he doesn't sound like he's doing well emotionally inside.
No, 47 years old. No.
Stalled out?
Yeah. Yeah, working at a food kitchen.
And I'd like to interject. I mean, he's had opportunity where we've been in like a small group through our previous church. Where he was, when I was meeting with the wife and he was meeting with the husband, these guy and gal leadership or D12 groups, you know, he turned around to me one day and said, well, Tracy's not as nice as you think he is because Tracy called him on the carpet. So anytime a gentleman sort of gets closer to him and doesn't and says things that he doesn't want to hear, he basically cuts them out of his life.
Because okay, he feels really bad about himself.
Yeah, he can't handle it.
Yeah, Tanya. And in that social arena, there, even though that is helpful, it's not enough containment for him. Have you taken him to a psychiatrist? Is he on medication?
No. At first he said he would go to counseling. Then he's like, no, I can't afford counseling. And I'm like, well, there's still free counseling. There's counseling, you know, through a pay-as-you-go kind of thing. But he'll always say, or he did start counseling, and he goes to one session or two sessions.
Right. And this is with people that are depressed and anxious. They do need somebody to come alongside of them and say, okay, we're going and we're going to go talk to this person. And they need help initiating. And the doctor may need your feedback, too, on what's really going on with
that. That's the value, Jill, of couples counseling, because you have a person who can reflect what the other person is, they see, so that you're not just getting the one person's opinion that's sitting in your office. And I guarantee you, Tanya, that there's other issues here in your relationship that are going on. So if you get into a good couples counselor, part of what the job is of a counselor is to also assess these issues of depression and anxiety.
And if you're shelling out money, it seems like this would be the one area you'd want to shell.
Yeah.
And we've done counseling before, and it's like when we've gone to counseling, he makes everything so intellectual that it's like I'm looking at these two guys doing a volleyball match, and I have no clue what the heck they're talking about. They're so intellectual.
Okay. I know your husband. I know his personality type. And I've had some friends that were just like him. And I know what, I'm just saying, I know what you're dealing with. Now, what about a New Life weekend? Why not?
I'm more than happy to go to a New Life weekend. I also offered to go ahead and pay for him. Our church was doing a freedom encounter, which it's more based on the spiritual aspect of ungodly beliefs and finding the traumas and hurts in your life. To be able to, you know, look at the spiritual aspect and get them cleaned out, which is a catalyst for emotional growth. And yet when I offered to go take him to that and pay for it and make sure that he got a scholarship for it, he came back to me and said, no, I don't want to do it because I don't want to conform to your way of thinking.
Okay. All right. Listen to me. Here's the best advice that I can give you, okay? You say to him, we've been through a lot. We're kind of stagnant. And I'm getting pretty miserable. And I know that back there in the back, when we got together, there was a lot of love and emotion and affection for each other. I want to see if we can find that again. And here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to go to the New Life Weekend with me, and that's all I'm going to ask you to do. Okay? Now, you get him there. If he doesn't go or says, I won't go, this isn't for you guys to get a divorce, but this is to try to motivate him to go. Is that you say, if he says, I can't go, I won't go, I don't want to conform to your way of thinking or whatever it is, then you say, if you're not willing to do that, give me one weekend, I'm going to file for legal separation. I'm going to separate our finances out.
Well, I've already done that.
You have? Okay.
Yeah, our finances have been separated for at least two to three years.
Okay, so just tell him, I'll pay for this weekend, and if you're not willing to go, I'm not going to pay for anything else. I'm done.
Tanya, how many of these traits and characteristics of your husband did you see before you got married?
I saw maybe a few of them. I didn't really perceive what I considered to be like wittiness at the time. I thought the wittiness, the humor, it was attractive, but now after several years, I saw it as one-upmanship.
Yeah, it's a defense, isn't it?
And, you know, a really interesting thing, too, is that I joined a 12-step program right after we got married, and then within 6 months, I was writing some stuff in there, and I found my book, you know, like a couple years ago, and I happened to turn to one page and said, I resent, you know, who do I resent and why? And within 6 months of marriage, I already wrote down that I resent my husband because he's always right. So when I would say, hey, Phil, you know, you hurt me when you said such and such or did such and such, he basically just turned it on me like, oh, you have no sense of humor. And it was just always turned back to me. And
yeah.
That's basically how most teasing. Of
Teasing is...
Tanya, we get that you're tired here, okay?
Yeah,
we do get that. We hear that. And so we want you to not walk away thinking that we're not on your side.
Mm-hmm.
You called us and said, I'm in limbo. What do I do next? And Steve and Jill have tried to give you some ideas as to what to do next to create these warm boundaries and say, if you want me... Because, mm-hmm. you know, a 14, 11-year-old... are just 7 and 4 years away from being legal adults. That's not very long.
Yeah.
And so really it's, do you want me? And if you do, I need you to do the emotional growth that I have been doing. It's a combination of spiritual and emotional growth, and I need to see a part of that. And the beauty of what Steve said with respect to a separation is you actually physically separate, you know, so that he doesn't have the benefits mm-hmm. of having you in the house and having... I don't have the disruption if I'm Phil of having to get my kids for the weekend and to, you know, go through the adjustments.
Is, like you said, a retired guy. He's living like a single guy.
He's living like a single retired guy that gets the
I've
bennies.
I asked him to separate to physically move out of the house, and his response was like, well, he goes, I'm not leaving the house. So I physically separated, moved into another room. You know, I don't feel that I should be leaving the house because I take care of the kids
Tanya, you're coming up with a lot of excuses to say why I don't want to do what you were recommending that you do. But whatever you do in order to get out of limbo, you're going to have to do something pretty drastic mm-hmm. and different in order to get out of this limboville. So I'd start with Steve's comment and say, you know, let's go to this. And if we don't, then I can tell you really don't want me. And people have to pay the price of what it feels like to be separated before they get the reality of this is my reality.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's not that you're asking him to completely believe and conform to all of your views and opinions, but you're asking him to be more inclusive emotionally, to mm-hmm. have some sort of relationship, because right now it sounds like you really don't have much.
No, not at all.
Well, I tell you, these are extremely complicated situations. There is a stagnation in mm-hmm. him and depression. There's a stagnation and depression in you, and you just give up. And there is a way to pull this back together, and I just hope that you guys would be willing, that you would be willing to do a couple of things we've suggested, and it might be able to pull this back together.
Perhaps. Again, there's always the possibility that one person is so not willing or so
unable.
Right,
because you wonder what he wants.
Yeah.
Right.
What does he want? Is he happy with things this way?
Okay, well, I'm glad you called, and sorry you're going through this. I'm going to send you
really
How We Love, and I think you'll see him in there, and I know you'll see yourself in there, and it might help both of you. I'll send you two copies so both of you could hopefully read it and work through
it.
And
we really commend all that she has done and, and tried.
Not easy.
You know, she's trying.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, a couple of things. I'm going to be speaking Father's Day, June the 19th, there in at the Heartland Church in Fishers, Indiana, or Indianapolis. And I'll be at the North American Convention of the Church of God in Anderson on June 26th. So I would love to see you there. And also, Henry and I are going to be on the Trinity Broadcasting Network on June the 30th. And we need you to watch it and then email or text or Twitter that it was the most moving program you've ever seen, if it was. Or, anyway, or just whatever you thought about the program. We're really trying to help some Christian networks see that Christian counseling is not anti-Christian. It's a big move. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more of New Life Live right after this. Glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. We'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Mylon just brought up something about the royal wedding, which I think is true. Some of those hats were the most ridiculous looking things I've ever seen.
But hats are fun.
Well, they are
fun.
And
don't they speak to a person's personality?
But I think a hat should go up here, not
I don't get the ones on the forehead.
How
about
that, lady that had this bow thing up here like this? It was the most...
Yeah.
Okay, now the queen...
We've lost the art of the hat.
The queen looked elegant. See, her hat was elegant.
I loved that.
Her whole outfit. But then, you know, you put something on the side of your head that looks like a satellite dish, and you go, oh, are you a representative for the Dish Network?
Right.
You know, who are you?
Oh, I've got DirecTV, too.
Yeah. And you go, how much did you pay for that thing, you know, because you're on nationwide international
TV.
Who's next on our show?
No, really, I think you can tell a lot about a personality. You can tell a lot about a personality.
Yes.
Of a person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is why personalities usually go.
The hats are diagnostic,
based
aren't
on
they?
On the hat. Mm-hmm. You really can't. You can see that some people, their whole life is in a little capsule. And then others are all over the place. Need a lot of attention. Let's go to Lisa from Dallas, Texas. Listens on KWRD. Hello, Lisa. Do you wear a hat?
Hi, No, I don't wear a hat.
Okay.
All right.
How could we help you today?
Okay, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm the one that called about my husband cheating on me with an 18-year-old girl.
I don't remember that.
Girl.
I'm so, okay.
Cougar.
I'm sorry about okay. that. What has happened since then?
Okay. Well, we try to reconcile, and I try, you know, I let him back in, and then just a couple of weeks ago, I was dealing with my best friend's mom passing away of cancer, so I didn't really, every time I get off work, like, I would go and, like, you know, like, spend time with her and stuff, you know, helping her do whatever, and he didn't come home Sunday, and then he didn't come home on Tuesday again, so I had a weird feeling, so I went through his phone records, went through his phone records, and then I was worried, like, is he in, you know, because previously, like, a week before this happened, he got a DWI for drinking and driving. So I was kind of worried about him, like, did he go to jail? Like, what happened? So I called, like, all these numbers, and a girl answered the phone, and this is a completely different girl. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is, you know, Steve's wife. I was like, do you know Steve? And, you know, she's like, oh, she doesn't know who I'm talking about. You know, she's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Who is he? Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I have friends, but I work nights, and I don't know. And then she just hangs up on me. So I'm just like, okay, for sure it was confirmed to me that that obviously he's messing around again. And
okay. All right, let me ask you this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
What did you require of him before you guys got back together?
I required of him to be a positive, and I required him to be, you know, like, good to my kids and don't lie to me, like, be honest with me, and for him to get a relationship with God and, you know, try to be a positive person and, you know, like that.
All right, now let me tell you why that doesn't work.
Okay.
Because essentially what you're saying is, listen, I want you to have instant character and
and to
integrity.
Be a great guy.
Yeah. And you know what that, if you told me that you asked his fairy godmother to put a spell on him, I would think that would be more likely to produce what you wanted than just telling him what you wanted. Why didn't you have him do something, like get
something
counseling,
concrete.
Go to a Every Man's Battle workshop, or you
well,
guys...
Well, because he's very narcissistic, and he doesn't believe in counseling.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. No. Because why were you willing to let him come back in without him doing anything? He cheats.
Well,
I mean, I would say cheating would be a worse thing than narcissism. So he cheats, and you say, well, just do better.
Well, because, number one, I have three kids, and I've been with them since I was 19. So, number one, now that I think about it, I'm probably afraid to be alone and raise my three kids by myself.
The
next thing is...
all right.
And the next thing is... I just, you know, didn't want to end up getting a divorce, so I just wanted to kind of give it a chance before, so that I could say later on, you know, in life that I did try everything that I could.
Okay, now here's the thing, though. In not trying everything that you could because you were afraid, you might have lessened the chance that he would get his act together and you guys would stay together.
Yeah.
See? So, Mylon, Jill, what are you thinking?
Well,
here?
Lisa, and I understand it's really hard, and of course that fear of being alone. But let me just tell you, it sounds like you are alone raising those three kids. I mean, he's an alcoholic, right?
And then on top of that,
cheating.
He's been doing steroids for the last year and a half.
Okay, so let me tell you, you've identified him as a narcissist. So if that is truly what he is.
Yeah.
They don't get help unless their world is really rocked.
It's true. That's right.
So you just gave him a pass by saying, just be a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay? So some concrete things that are measurable, like go into drug and alcohol treatment.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, these are things you need for the protection of your kids. He's getting a DUI. Okay,
yeah, he got a DWI, and I went to go pick him up from jail with my kids, and you know, and my kids were like, "Hey, Dad, you know, why did you go in there?" And he's like, "Where did you go?" And then my husband's like, "Oh, I went to a bad man's place," and he like smiled real big, like, and then he wore that little jail bracelet that you know that you get when you get out. He wore it all day, like, and he says he's going to keep it as a souvenir. Okay. And I'm just like, what do I do in a situation like this? I feel like I'm at a dead end, so. I changed a lot as soon as I found out that he, you know, I talked to that girl.
Hold on. Like, I've got to go to a break, and I will we'll give you some help right after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, Lisa, we've said a lot of things here. Is there a specific question that you'd like to ask that maybe we haven't addressed yet?
Yeah, well, my thing is that I don't know if I should, you think that God will, is it okay to get a divorce is basically my question, because I think, I don't know what else to do.
Okay. Well,
Lisa, I have two questions, but first let me answer your question first. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have a biblical grounds for divorce if your husband has committed adultery against you. So yes, you have that right. And with that right comes the right to remarriage on your part as well. So that's very clear from Matthew 19. But I'm wondering, Lisa, how long before you ever met your husband, prior to that, if you found yourself trying to chase down or get somebody's attention or to get somebody to be attentive to you and pay attention to you, and you've taken desperate measures to get somebody to see you. And I'm wondering if you did that before you were married with other people.
No, actually, because I met my husband when I was 18, and I really didn't have that many boyfriends prior to him.
No, what about mom and dad as a little girl? About mom and dad as an adolescent?
I don't know my dad, and my mom, she left me when I was just an infant with my uncle and my...
Well, no wonder why you're so afraid, too.
And then I've been to an orphanage, like, because they didn't want to take care of me anymore, and then, I don't know, like, I just have a lot of issues.
Well, but that explains why you would settle.
Yeah. Right, and why you're holding on to him, because he's been in your life more consistently than most people.
Sure.
Even in his chaos.
But so desperation that motivates action doesn't usually present an option that's good versus bad, or more positive versus negative, with more potential versus less. It really does hurt, and I think that's what you've done here. So we want to see you not react based on past, but we want to see you do something. Yes, you can divorce him, or you could make some different bold moves to try to save the relationship with the guy that you've known more than anybody else in your life.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, I changed my lock, so now I don't know where he's staying. Most likely, probably with his brother or something. But he's been, like, angry with me, like, you know, texting me, like, all these crazy things. And he came to my house and, like, broke into my garage and took, like, some of his stuff. And,
oh, dear.
Yeah, and now he's saying that he's not going to get in touch with me anymore. So he's not going to call me anymore and stuff. So I don't even know. I'm lost.
All right, how old are your kids?
My kids are, I have 11, well, he's about to be 12. I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Okay. Well, what's important for them to also, not only is this influence of him and his behavior a bad example, but they're going to learn a lot from your reaction.
That's right.
To a person that's unkind. How do you react? When do you stand up for yourself? When do you say enough is enough? And that modeling for you, Lisa, gives you a chance to be the parent that you didn't have. And this is a chance for you to become an amazing lady. And I just want to encourage you along that line.
Okay.
Yeah. And that means getting some support for yourself, Lisa. Yeah. Going to Al-Anon, getting involved in your church, drawing people around you.
Stop not doing anything for you.
Yeah.
Start working on you and seeing the kind of insight and wisdom that you develop. And I think that's going to help you. And you won't be in that desperate, depressed, sad place that you are. And I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of the Emotional Freedom Workbook. And I'll send you Mylan's book, How We Love. I hope that that'll be of help to you. Well, let's talk with Tom. Tom's calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's going on, man?
I'm going to try to make a long story short. We're in our 50s. We got remarried and about 2 years ago. Before we got married, we had talked about all kinds of things. I wanted to, you know, they have a Christian relationship. She let me believe that she was a born-again Christian. But long story short, her mom had passed away, and her son came in from California, which was about a year before we got married. The only time I ever met him in my life, the first day, was walking down the street and cussing at me and telling me he hated me and everything else. We proceeded to get married after that, and she had sent him money. He lives about 3,000 miles away, and she had sent him some money before we got married, which I didn't know nothing about, and 24 hours after we got off our honeymoon, he moved into the house with us. Creating a lot of tension.
Sure.
We were actually on our way home from the airport when I said, we need to sit down and have a discussion about this to clear the air. She didn't want to sweep it under the rug. I tried doing what she wanted. So that created a lot of tension, and within 30 days, we were separated. A lot of tension with, I became obsolete.
This was like 2 years ago?
Yes, this was 2 years ago. We've been separated.
All right. What's the question for us then that relates to today?
I guess the papers I filed actually just recently, a couple days ago. We went to counseling, tried Christian counseling, but she was detached from it, and she wouldn't do any of the things that we said. But where it comes down today is through the counseling, she said that before we got married, she said that, you know, she wanted a Christian relationship with Christ first, husband and wife, children, and then through counseling she admitted that her children will always come first, I'll never come before them.
Okay.
Creating a lot more tension.
So what could we help you with here today? Ask a question that we could address.
I filed, but I'm still, because I'm to my wit's end, what can I do to try to salvage
Okay. All right. Mylon, you have a thought? What he could do to salvage what's left? Pretty desperate situation here.
Well, if you're separated, and the question, I think the best question is to really assess what she wants. It doesn't sound like she really wants this relationship. It sounds like her loyalties are to not the marriage. And I think to really ask her, what is it that you want? And I think to be clear, and one of the biggest places for us to go in our individual lives in order to experience shifts is we have to adjust to a concept. I'm being rejected, for instance, or I was loved and then let go. And sometimes we have a hard time letting go of that. Mm-hmm. So maybe the journey is more, Tom, can you let go of the person who's let go of you? And I think that's a hard pill for many of us to swallow.
Well, and I think also in looking at remarriage, one of the consequences of divorce, one of the reasons why God hates divorce,
right,
is because things are kind of out of order, mm-hmm, and it creates all kinds of ripple effects. One of those being that children then did come before the new spouse, mm-hmm, and they've logged a lot more time, and it's hard to suddenly just shift and say, no, now this spouse is most important.
Right.
However, that doesn't mean there shouldn't be boundaries, because those kids should not feel entitled to taking up all the space.
Well, what do you think?
But
you
ought to do? It's also not fair for them to be on a honeymoon and have a kid
move
in.
Oh, absolutely.
That's on her part
kind
a real weakness.
Bait and switch.
What should he do?
So I think he needs to sit down with her and have an honest conversation, perhaps with a counselor, and say, you know, what were your expectations? What were mine? And you know, where can we go from here? And what are our deal breakers? But I think ultimately, you have a relationship that really got started off on a really bad foot here. And,
you know,
how do you, there may be nothing to pull out of.
Right. And it really, I think, try to get back to that place before you remarry. I mean, there was something there, and then this thing fell off the
cliff. A lot of times that some...
If you get hung up on saying, well, I'm supposed to come first, the children shouldn't come first, even that verbiage is going to maybe be a bit harsh for any mother. And so
I think your point is very well taken, because
mean she doesn't want a Christian marriage.
Right.
She's just,
but she could be loyal to her children and not let her kid move in, you see, like that.
Absolutely.
And sabotage
that's
her husband.
Yes.
And,
yes.
But you're right. She's known that boy for 20 years, and she's known him for two.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect loyalties to be to my natural biological
child.
So
how do we work out problems when things don't go as we thought they were going
to? First thing we do, Steve, you said get back to where you were before.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes where that place is idealism.
Exist. Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah.
It's not a real assessment
of what's
realistic.
So that may not be the place to go back to.
So that's right. So we got to get back to saying what's real here, and can we live with that? And let's negotiate a place to go that's realistic.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We've got a final segment coming up. We're going to go to Christy. The rest of you that are holding, I'm so sorry that I can't get to your call today. But call us back, and I hope that we can answer your question on another day. But Christy, you hold on. We'll get to you right after this. You're listening to or watching New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or newlife.com if you need some help. Want to join us on a future program? 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us, But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're talking with Christy now from Washington, D.C. Listens on WAVA. Hi, Christy.
Hey.
How could we help you today?
I just had a question. I have a lot of things going on right now, so I need to know, how do you handle multiple problems at one time?
Okay. What's going on?
I just recently lost my job after 14 years, the only job I've ever had.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm.
I was kind of betrayed by the people that I worked for, a Christian friend, people that I thought were my friends, kind of went behind my back.
Really,
and yeah, you know, and also my daughter is into drugs and alcohol. My husband is verbally abusive, and my kids are just dealing with all kinds of stuff. I can't find a job. It's been 6 months. It's just, I'm bipolar, and just the list goes on. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with that money? And, you know, unemployment only lasts for so long, and I don't even know if I got a job, if I'm even stable enough to work.
Christy? I am so sorry for what you're going through. And, you know, the Bible tells us that God won't give us anything, let us have anything, that is beyond our capacity to handle it, if we'll handle it in His way. And so a person could have a load that is so heavy that it would crush them. But that isn't God's way to handle stuff alone. You have to have support of other people around you. And so tell me about, when all this has happened, have you been isolating yourself from other people that might be helpful to you?
Well, yeah, I don't have, only person that I talk to is my mom and my sister, but they're kind of demanding me with help from my parents who are ill, so I have to go over to my mom's house and watch my dad who's in a wheelchair. And like, that's another thing. So no, I don't have
it. So you're really all alone in this desperate situation. I'm so sorry. What could she do to get support?
And it sounds like, Christy, like you're really kind of building that mountain of all these things, one thing after another, that is piling up. And if any of us look at all those things at once, of course, we would fall into depression and be, you know, devastated like you sound. And so that's where we have to start to break things down into smaller things. These are big problems. You're not going to be able to solve them all. But what steps can you take? And Steve is mentioning support. A lot of times at churches, they offer free support groups for people struggling, and a lot of times they're based on themes. Sometimes they're around depression. Sometimes they're around kids and drug problems. And so you have to start to plug into places, because in those places, people are coming with similar issues, so they can tolerate hearing about it, and it's usually time limited. So then people don't get overwhelmed. And that's a way you start to deal with it in smaller chunks. And you take one step, and it's like, what can I do today to help myself? I'm not going to solve it all today. What's one thing I can do to help myself today? Are you there, Kristen?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
I'm here.
You see, when you start going down the list, I mean, even as you were telling us the list, we could hear your voice. It was sounding more and more, you know, desperate for you.
And, oh, yeah. That's right? How I get. I just,
of
I'm,
course.
I get,
well, and are you managing the bipolar?
Well,
because you have to be on your medication, and I know that costs money, but you can go to, you know, county mental health and places like that.
I have been paying. God has blessed me with some money from taxes and the unemployment, and I'm paying for insurance through the employer. Plus, I have Medicaid. So
okay. So, but staying on your medication, doing the things that you know that you need to do, because you don't want to add chaos because you're not doing your part. There's enough chaos of things happening to you and to your world. But what do you need to do to help yourself stay on track?
Right.
Christy, another thing that fits in here, and I'll say this quickly because we're running out of time, is when I hear of a grown adult who has no friends but is still very tied into mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
what that means is I haven't really grown up inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the
adult world is then very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I wish I could go to my mom, and my mom could just take care of me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that is a little girl. How old do you feel right now, Christy, when you're saying those words? How old do you feel inside?
Oh, my God. It's like, you know, like five or something like that. It's
exactly.
Like really little. I don't want to have to deal with anything.
I so hear that, Christy, and that's why I'm addressing this point. And part of the beauty of what Jill and Steve are describing to you here is that you have the capacity to begin growing up on the inside, which means I have to make friends and I have to learn to work my way through a broken world. As my pastor says, I'm broken, the world's broken, nothing works right. And that's not what a child can bear on their little shoulders. Mm-hmm. So as an adult, I have to learn to develop the shoulders that allow me to be able to bear adult burdens. And it's something that is a part of your larger goal, Christy, because as adults, we have to learn to juggle a lot of balls in the air.
And as adults, we have to do some things that we don't want to do.
That's right.
All right. I'll send you this Emotional Freedom Workbook. I hope that will help you.
Could we send her Changes That Heal?
Changes
because
oh,
there's
that
a,
would be good.
A great
yeah.
section on becoming an adult,
mm-hmm.
the last section of Henry's
okay.
book there.
So we'll send that to you and hope that'll be a blessing to you. And so sorry for what you're going through,
yeah.
but don't give up.
Yeah,
because
don't
a lot
up.
Of times we think everything's horrible and just right around the corner, right around the bend, there's that ray of hope that God brings to us. So,
don't give up, grow up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, you can get that independence that you need that doesn't, you're not overwhelmed by what's there, but you really got some serious things have happened to you. I'm so sorry and hope we've helped in some way. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you all for watching. And for those that support us, thank you so much. You know, we need your help here. We need about 1,000 more people that have never given before to come alongside the way 1,000 people did in April. It would really help us. And pretty soon, we're not going to have a financial problem. If enough of you who've been meaning to give, who think that, yeah, you know, I listen enough, I ought to give a little bit back, if enough of you will do that, we're going to be okay. But if you don't, well, then everybody is at jeopardy because our biggest stations can't stay on the air. They're too expensive for us. And then if they don't stay on the air, we can't bring in the support to stay on the other stations. So it's a domino effect. I hope and pray that something that inside of you that God is leading you to says, I want to give. I want to support this ministry. So if so, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you could go to newlife.com and give online. Many, many people give online. And when you become a member of our Club New Life, we send you a wonderful, wonderful cross with the little sayings about New Life on there. And it's a great gift, and I hope that you'll appreciate our way of saying thank you. Please call us and tell us that you can support us. And if you can't, call us and get some help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Those are both the sources. My thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard and to Mylon Yurkovich, and thanks to all of you who support us and who listen and watch. We really are grateful. We feel so fortunate to get to be with you in this way every weekday. It is a blessing from God, and we pray that God anoints this ministry and that we can help you in whatever way you need. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.